The fact that the law has been weaponized against these innocent folks, you know, is absolutely insane. I just hope that he not only pardons them, but, you know, makes it impossible for anything like this to ever come up again.
Not only have they begun to integrate Bitcoin into their services, but they are saying, if you default on your loan, we are happy accepting your Bitcoin as payment for that.
To me, this is a story that shows you life will find a way. We aren't going to suffer under the globalists forever, and it will take people flooding the street and making their voices heard and being part of the solution.
If you wanted a signal and a reason to sprint into Bitcoin, into self-custody and away from the hands of these thieves, this is it.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Greer and Tony with me. Alrighty, gents, up first, this is big news, important news. The Samurai case is officially on Trump's radar. So a reporter brought it up, and it sounds like he's going to consider looking into it and pardoning Keone and Bill. Big news. I think this was the big hurdle for them to get over, is it just getting the attention of the president. Greer, I'll let you take this one first. Would love to hear your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I was surprised to see this yesterday, and kudos to the reporter who posed the question. I thought it was an interesting sort of engagement and response from Trump. I think no matter if you think Keone deserves prison or not, because I know some Bitcoiners are divided, remember, this is a relic prosecution of the Biden administration that was going after anyone in the Bitcoin and crypto space. So I think that Keone and his partner got caught up in this. And if you look at the actual case, what they were accused of and the process that it took, it was really egregious. So depending on where you fall on whether or not you agree with the judgment, the process itself was absolutely flawed. I think, you know, my personal opinion is I think that there might be some jail time associated with this, but I think it's great that the Bitcoiners have made enough noise to get this on the radar. And I think that when it shows that when we work together, our voice cannot be ignored. And I imagine that will only continue and get stronger as Bitcoin adoption continues to grow.
Agree. Tony, what do you think?
Yeah, I completely agree, man. The power has always been with us, the people. You know, with enough noise, everybody starts paying attention. The fact that the law has been weaponized against these innocent folks, you know, is absolutely insane. And I really hope, you know, he pardons them. I mean, it's just crazy that they're in this position to begin with. I just hope that he not only pardons them, but, you know, makes it impossible for anything like this to ever come up again.
Agree. Go to billandkeone.org. You can find the petition there to have them pardoned. We need to get way more signatures on that. And Greer, I agree with you. I think there's a justification to be made for saying that, you know, they sort of kicked the hornet's nest. And they got burned. But if you look at, like, I had Keone last week on the podcast, if you look at the prosecution, I mean, it should have been thrown out just by virtue of 100 false starts on that. So I think this is an important topic that everyone needs to be paying attention to. Go sign the petition. It takes a minute. Stop wasting your time and get on this. Alrighty, up next. So Saylor, the obvious joke has been we're all going to go work at McDonald's. And Saylor said, we'll work for Bitcoin. Steak and Shake coming through again. They said, if you work at Steak and Shake, we will pay you in Bitcoin. To me, this is a generational opportunity for a bunch of minimum wage earners to begin accumulating, stacking sats. And I think their lives will be forever changed. My concern, of course, is that so many people are asleep at the wheel. Their parents are probably going to encourage them not to do that and to go invest in the S&P 500 with whatever they have left over. Tony, do you think this is I think it's exciting news. Do you think there's going to be any impact to the people working at Steak and Shake ultimately?
Yeah, of course, man. This is the type of signal that I love reading about. I mean, when corporations like this start, you know, pushing the Bitcoin standard, you know, that's when you start seeing, you know, the copycats follow, especially if they're very successful. Anyone who's fortunate enough to be working at Steak and Shake and earning and being, you know, actually saving in sats, man, these people are going to see their lives changed in ways they can only dream of otherwise. I hope more companies, you know, do this. I mean, we live on a Bitcoin standard. We encourage every single person we encounter with that has a business to start accepting it, to pay their employees and suppliers with it. Even if you get a bit of resistance at first, insist, because, you know, Bitcoin is the only money that is money, that actually has value. And it's the only way we push the world forward towards, you know, a sound money standard.
I think I had probably not eaten a Steak and Shake in, I don't know, 7 years prior to them beginning this whole Bitcoin journey. And I think I've probably eaten at Steak and Shake 10 or 12 times since. So it pays to accept Bitcoin, because we are we're a very strong horde of customers who will rush toward you. Greer, I think this is good stuff. What's your take?
Yeah, nonstop wins from the Steak and Shake team. I love this. Of course, if you imagine being 16 and working at Steak and Shake while you're in high school and putting away all of that money while you're living at your parents rent free, and then, you know, getting out of school after four years or several years, and you've got this big bag of Bitcoin that you've held on to, you know, earning Bitcoin today is just amazing, you know, with the price being a little bit lower than what we might want as Bitcoiners. But this is a great opportunity for the younger generations, anybody who works at Steak and Shake. I also think that Steak and Shake, you know, going to beef tallow and eliminating seed oils, they've done some great marketing and awareness just on the type of food that they offer. And in fact, you can become a part owner in Steak and Shake with, you know, I think it's like a $10,000 investment. And if you can work there, you can earn ownership in a franchise. So, you know, I would love to see more Steak and Shakes across the country. I think this is an absolutely American brand. They're hitting it on Bitcoin, on the ingredients and the products that they offer. So yeah, nonstop winning. You know, I think we should definitely cheer them on. And as you're doing, Michael, we should be patrons of the restaurant and pay in Bitcoin and do our part to increase adoption.
Absolutely. Next step, I'm lobbying them to start using local honey and maple syrup as their sweeteners and all of their shakes and other products. We'll see if they get there. But in the meantime, beef tallow fries and seed oil free burgers, good stuff. All righty, guys. So this was sort of a long story, but there's a whistleblower talking about the WEF and everything she learned working at Deutsche Bank. And basically, I guess the TLDR on this is, they manufactured the climate crisis, all the ESG narratives, nonsense. She said that they put out an annual report after they fired her for pushing back on all the lies. This is something the three of us, we've talked about the World Economic Forum. No surprises here. But Tony, if anyone can rant about these global elites, I think it's you. What's your thought on this whistleblower?
I always knew it was just a question of time before their entire, you know, bullshit infrastructure starts to fall apart. And, you know, these are the signs. You know, every lie, every Ponzi has an expiration date. And, you know, once the cracks start, you know, showing, well, it's only going to accelerate. This is a criminal organization. I mean, it's very clear. We've known this for a very long time. And they've been pushing, you know, all this insanity, you know, upon the world. But, you know, thankfully, you know, they got some massive pushback, which caused a lot of their, you know, draconian ideas to fail. And this pushback should never stop. The world should never tolerate being under, you know, the rule and, you know, psychotic behavior of a bunch of people who believe they have the right to play God. So I'm glad stories like this are coming out. No one should be tolerating this. No one should be accepting to be living in a world dictated by a bunch of crazy people. You know, we have a God-given right to be free and to think for ourselves. And as long as we're following neutral, legitimate laws, everything else should be completely ignored.
Completely agree. Greer, your take on the WEF?
Yeah, we're convinced that it was propaganda, and this story proves that it's true. I mean, it's just nonstop, you know, trying to manipulate what we believe so that they can change our behavior, our attitudes, and our preferences. You know, I'm so glad that this story came out, because it shows you that, you know, we were not crazy. We were right. The ESG narrative was false when it started, and it's false today. And it's, you know, helping people understand that, you know, what their real goal is to control what you purchase and what kind of car you drive and where you live and how you behave. So, you know, the making cows the enemy and blaming cow farts on warming the planet. It's just absolutely ridiculous on its face. And here it is confirmed in a great video and a recap story.
Yeah. And for anyone listening, we've got more on farts to come. So make sure you stay tuned to the end. All righty. Up next, NanoLab CEO Jack says global Bitcoin hash rate has dropped 100 exahash. So that's an 8% decline. Miners seem to be shutting down. What's our price action today? So we're at 86,900 at the time of this recording. We've been dipping for a while. I think people are getting frustrated, but now the miners are actually having to evaluate the economics of staying online. It looks like many are shutting down, 400,000 plus. Greer, I'll let you take this one. We talk about solo mining a lot, but these are like the big industrial scale miners now.
Yeah, these are the big guys. And I think it's absolutely fantastic that some of these big miners are unplugging, because it gives a chance for solo miners like me, hopefully like everyone watching, to earn a block and find a block and get that Bitcoin reward. So I think that, mining being decentralized is key. We have too many large miners that are mining so many blocks that it doesn't really give the individual power over the network. So, this is your chance. If you thought about solo mining, definitely keep researching it, buy a miner, and start looking at what type of hash rate you can produce from mining at home. And, we're in winter right now, and I have a couple miners, and what they produce is heat. So it not only has a practical application where you live, it's, perfect for a home office. But it helps you learn about Bitcoin. It helps you be part of the network. And, Bitcoin will be fine. It does not hinder Bitcoin itself to have large miners unplug. It's actually a benefit. And this is your opportunity. Jump in there, get a solo miner, and start hashing.
And by the way, if you need help setting up your solo miner, the Bitcoin Way can do that. So obviously reach out if you feel somewhat deterred by the technical hurdle of doing that. Tony, what would you add to this?
This is a healthy shakeup. It sucks to hear about people losing money, except if it's, central banks and other corrupt entities. But this shakeup, I guess in hindsight, will look like it's inevitable. As the hash rate increases in plug and play devices, regular everyday people will get a chance to contribute, which in turn will push for more decentralization of the mining industry, which is fantastic. And this is why, like you guys said earlier, we heavily encourage folks to take this up, initially maybe as a hobby, as maybe you get lucky with a lottery ticket. But, as time moves forwards and the price of these things goes down and their, capacity, their hash rate goes up, hearing stories about regular folks, hitting a block is not going to be as rare as a lot of individuals might like to think. We already hear about them regularly now. And this is good news for anyone who's in the solo mining space.
So for anyone who thinks that we're a bunch of doomers because we look at the world and we think it's dark, we can turn a dip in hash rate into a positive thing. Go solo mine. Have some fun, everyone. Okay, this is big news. The pro-EU government of Bulgaria just resigned after 6.5 million Bulgarians protested for 2 days straight. Bulgaria was set to join the Eurozone on January 1st. Europeans are taking back their nations. We've talked, was it just last banter? We were talking about Trump, sort of coaxing 4 EU nations out of the EU. It looks like things are starting to fall apart. My prediction was before they can roll out the digital euro in 2029 is Christine Lagarde's projection. This thing is going to be dismantled. I'm hoping that this is, a signal that I might be onto something. But Tony, I would love to hear your thoughts.
This is extremely exciting and bullish news, man. It looks like my prediction is on its way to becoming true. I've said that there'll be no more EU under 5 years. And as more and more countries, rebel like this and, push back against complete tyranny, it's going to happen, as it should. I believe every country in Europe will only grow again once it tears apart from this centralized cancer, which is the EU. I hope, other countries pay attention and use Bulgaria as a role model. I think Poland is going to follow suit, in the not so distant future. I just want to see other countries push back like this. And I think in the long run, they win. The fact, it's, you have like such a corrupt and centralized socialist institution like the EU is definitely bad news and unhealthy for Europe in general.
Yeah. Quick pro tip, you need less government, not a government for your government. So the EU should be completely obsolete. Greer.
Just absolutely perfect timing, you know, where you have politicians in NATO saying that they need to get ready for war with Russia. You have countries that are breaking apart and saying, hey, we don't want any part of that. I think that this is great. Countries that control their own destiny are much less likely to be controlled by a larger group of people who are very powerful. And I think this is great. Yes, hopefully this continues and continues around the world. I think that each culture being defined by its people, its heritage, its history, those are more important than having a top-down governmental approach. And so to me, this is a story that shows you life will find a way. We aren't going to suffer under the globalists forever, and it will take people flooding the street and making their voices heard and being part of the solution. So I cheer them on. And as you guys have both said, hopefully this continues.
All right, up next from the Electronic Frontier Foundation, this is an article about lawmakers seeking to ban VPNs, and it says they have no idea what they're doing. So we talked about Michigan, the state of Michigan, looking to ban VPNs, and there's obviously all the justification for, you know, child safety kind of stuff. Now Wisconsin, another state, is looking to do the same thing. And the reality is they don't understand the impossibility of what they're proposing. But it's always funny to have a laugh at governments. Tony, as our resident cybersecurity expert, what do you think about banning VPNs?
Man, this is as ludicrous as it sounds. I don't know who these people are, where they find them, and how they put them in these positions to make decisions like this. You can't do this. I mean, for anyone listening, you cannot ban a VPN, right? Like, I mean, even if you start pushing and forcing companies to do it, normal companies should ignore you entirely. And even if some do comply, this is only going to push the movement underground. I mean, this is just like a rewind to the whole torrents story, right? Like they shut down Napster thinking they killed the piracy for music sharing. All they did was create a world that is uncontrollable. They're trying to do it with money too, now with Bitcoin. Also impossible. Certain ideas, you know, when their time is here, you're never going to change that. The only thing that's going to change is that you are going to become irrelevant, and all of your, you know, dystopian ideas are going to wither, you know, with time. And so no one should be paying attention to this other than to mock it and to render it irrelevant, because, you know, as long as you are paralyzed by it and think it somehow has, you know, any form of relevancy, well, they maintain power over you. But, you know, push it aside, ignore it, laugh at it, mock it, find solutions that completely destroys their model and continue moving forward. Nobody should be listening to this garbage.
Yeah. And for anyone listening, VPNs are magical, and they're a great way to give the middle finger to the state as they try to clamp down on age verification for social media, that kind of thing. And we have a service. We'll help you get set up and do it the right way, protect yourself, your online presence, that sort of thing. Greer, what would you add to that?
Yeah, I think VPNs are fantastic. And I think there's also so many ways to use them. The price and the ease and the affordability has become just second nature now. So I think for any politician that's looking to stop human improvement and the human experience, you know, you're in the way. We need you to get out of the way. And I think that's the message here. Politicians will always try to over-legislate, and they'll never think about the unintended consequences. But there are some things like this, like we've talked about, the internet, decentralized communication, decentralized money. You aren't going to stop these things, especially when they've grown to the size that they are. There's really nothing you can do about it. So instead of standing in the way, get out.
Well said. All righty, Peter St. Ange, he said the Fed just admitted markets aren't going to buy $9 trillion of federal debt coming due, so the Fed is going to. And he says last time the Fed did this in the 1940s, it led to 20% inflation. When Germany did it in the 1930s, it led to hyperinflation. In other words, a lot of newly printed money is going to hit the banks, going to be lent out to us, especially as basically the end of quantitative tightening, the introduction of quantitative easing. Greer, what's your analysis?
Yeah, we knew it was inevitable. You know, we looked at the amount of spending that happened over the last 5 years, and, you know, where are they going to get the money to pay back the debts? Of course, we know that they're going to print it. And without any buyer, they're going to be forced to purchase it themselves. So I think that this is the writing's been on the wall. You know, and this will, as we know, it will hit savers the hardest. It will hit people who don't have assets. I think that's why we always say, you know, get Bitcoin to protect yourself. You don't want to be part of the dollar as it inflates to nothing. And I think that if you care about your purchasing power, if you care about your future, there are definitely ways to protect yourself. Ultimately, I think the best way is Bitcoin.
Right. All righty, Tony.
Well, man, this is the moment we've been warning about, and it looks like it's here. This is terrible news, especially for those that can't afford another crisis. I mean, if someone's living paycheck to paycheck, this is going to for sure wipe them out and render their purchasing power obsolete. This is a very, very bad piece of news that's out there. $9 trillion of, you know, freshly printed garbage, that's a lot of zeros. And so if you think prices are high now, God help us, man, once this thing becomes goes live.
Yeah, go get a job at Steak and Shake. You can start earning in Bitcoin and protect yourself from this nonsense. Okay, breaking, as always, JP Morgan will now accept Bitcoin as collateral for loans. So not only have they begun to integrate Bitcoin into their services, but they are saying, if you default on your loan, we are happy accepting your Bitcoin as payment for that. This, to me, is a big signal as to how the big banks actually perceive Bitcoin. It's something that is valuable. Tony, what do you think?
Well, how quickly the narrative changed, right? What happened to Bitcoin is, you know, rubbish money is for criminals, for money launderers. Now it's like, oh, yeah, no problem, man. Give it to us. We'll happily take it, you know, and you can borrow against it. And we'll consider you a VIP customer.
Yeah.
That's Tony, another bullish signal.
It is for money. It is for money launderers, because that's what JP Morgan does, is a significant part of their business. So
that may be true. That's a separate conversation. But if these people are telling you that, you know, they accept Bitcoin, if you wanted a signal and a reason to sprint into Bitcoin, into self-custody and away from the hands of these thieves, this is it.
But you would not recommend that people post their Bitcoin as collateral for a JP?
100% not. Bitcoin is not meant for any third-party institutional involvement. The only way you win in Bitcoin is to own it yourself 100% in self-custody. Of course, these services are going to be offered. This is just TradFi's way of separating, you know, ignorant and unsuspecting folks from their coins. They will happily give you worthless toilet paper for your pristine collateral. Don't fall for these gimmicks. These are put out there specifically to separate you from your coins, because at some point there will be some coordinated event that they will blame on God knows what, but the result is the same. You will be wiped out, and poof, your Bitcoin somehow ends up with them.
Yeah. Remember that the trade you're making is they're giving you money that they lend into existence in exchange for money that requires immense amount of computing power and energy to produce it. It's not a fair trade. Don't be duped by it. Greer, what would you add?
If they could ignore Bitcoin, they would. You know, the CEO of this company hates Bitcoin. He wants it to go away. They've been working on their own digital payment rails that they've been testing out. And I think the signal here is that they will do anything. They will do anything to get your Bitcoin, even though they don't want to. They're powerless to make Bitcoin disappear. They're powerless to fight what Bitcoin stands for and what it will become. And so they're forced to join along like every other financial institution will. So I think the key is the price of Bitcoin today might make you feel a certain way, but it shouldn't. You know, what Bitcoin offers is what is drawing all these institutions to it. They are looking to capture the market. And the only response that you should have is, I need Bitcoin and I need to control it myself. I need to hold it in self-custody. I think if you do that, you will be rewarded. And while I can't say when that will happen, all of the signs are here. Everyone wants Bitcoin. You might as well get some.
Well said. All righty. I told you, I promised we would talk about farts one more time on Bitcoin Banter today, and here it is. So sniffing your own farts boosts brain power, according to a new John Hopkins study. This is, so Greer, you have been, I think, sacrificing yourself, tirelessly testing this hypothesis, And I would love to hear the results of your study.
Thanks. I appreciate that intro. No, absolutely not. You know, don't believe this. This is pure propaganda. This article stinks. And I, you know, the fact that they can put out content like this just shows you how stupid they think we are. Smelling your own farts is not going to increase your brain power. I think if that were true, any elevator ride you took would enhance your IQ. And we just know that is not the case. So please ignore this article and probably 99% of the other articles that you see. You know, I think in some ways they're just laughing at us and they're just wondering, you know, can we get people to sit around, smell their own farts and think that they're getting more intelligent? You know, how many people are doing this? Maybe the shitcoiners. It works perfectly with their mindset, but hopefully not even them. So are we really supposed to take this publication seriously? I think not.
Well, I saw a guy on a bike the other day with an N95 mask outside, and I have a feeling he is taking this to heart. Tony, what do you think?
Well, we should run a survey to see how true it is. You know, like for the rest of the week, you know, everyone bury your heads between your legs and see if by Sunday evening you feel any different, right? and if it's got any merit, you know, well, your IQ should, you know, go up a few points. Otherwise, if you're subscribed to this nonsense, you know, kill your membership right away.
I don't even know how to close this out. Well, thank you guys for joining. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Do us a favor. Ignore this last story just for kicks. Don't go smell your own farts. But do stick around for another minute. You can learn a bit about the Bitcoin way, how we can help you with solo mining, self-custody, a lot of the things we've talked about. Gents, it's been a pleasure. Always a lot of fun. And we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to the bitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe. Stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.